Welcome back into the Lads Talking Footy podcast. It's me, Jordan Tana, here with Sam Whittaker, and we've got a special guest for you guys today. We've got one of the hottest names in Scottish pro rugby, former Coastie and Oriel College alumni, so he's ripping it, taking it overseas and doing great things with the Coast name. Tom Jordan, privileged to have you on, brother. How's it going?
Yeah, good, boys. Thanks for having me, and it's good to hear some Kiwi accents as well.
Yeah.
After being over here for a few years.
Yeah, well, we're just talking off camera about how you may have picked up the accent, but I'm not hearing it yet. I'm not hearing it.
No, I'm trying to keep it, bro, if I'll be honest with you. I don't really find it that
appealing.
It's not that attractive, I'd say.
No, all good, man. You still got that nice, thick, coasty accent. So if you start doing your thing overseas and making some waves, it would be good to hear that on your telly. Cool, man. So it's a bit of an early morning for you over there, and it's quite late at night given the time zones. How's the body feeling after I think you played two nights ago? Well, for us, 2 days ago.
Yeah, not too bad, bro. Took a couple knocks on the old shoulders, but we played on Friday, so we got 2 days off, which makes a big difference. The last few weeks we've had just Saturday straight back in. So yeah, grateful for 2 days. Just gonna rest up today.
Yeah, that's
sort my
one,
life
man.
Out again.
A little bit of R&R
tomorrow.
Yeah, cool,
that's
man.
That's it, bro.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that you were actually more of a swimmer growing up. Before you got into rugby, you did play a whole bunch of sports, but I think I saw you mainly as a swimmer when you were in your younger ages. What sort of skills or disciplines did you learn from growing up doing that sport that you've managed to apply to rugby?
Yeah, but I think the main thing for me would be, I guess I was obviously quite young as well and I was doing competitive swimming, but, you know, you'd be up before 5 in the pool, like 5:30, swimming pretty much most mornings. So I think that's sort of gone through for my whole sporting sort of careers, that discipline, just getting up, you know, it's not hitting snooze or anything like that. I think that kind of set the tone for all my rugby and even any other sports I played. It was just that discipline, and swimming's a lot about working hard. You know, if you don't go 3 or 4 times, you start to lose it. So you need to consistently show up. So I think that all just translated into rugby as well. It's just show up, discipline, get there early.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a name that I remember you hanging out with back in the day during swimming was Matty Myers. Have you been keeping up with him and seeing what he's been doing in the MMA scene in Australia? He's actually doing pretty good.
I'm a massive fan of Matty Myers. I think goes by Mad Dog now as well.
I love it.
Is his name. So, but he's been doing awesome, bro. He's got some unreal clips of him banging boys, eh? So I think he's on the come up over in Oz. It's good to see. But he was, I think he's done the same. Like, he was really top level swimmer as well, and you just kind of see that like mindset shift into martial arts. Like, it's probably quite similar, you know, there's a lot of disciplines and stuff you've got to learn. So, but he's a freak, bro. He's got that crazy mindset,
got that mad dog in him.
Got that mad dog, bro.
Who would have thought the best foundation for mixed martial arts and for rugby is swimming
in the pool?
Could be the new code, bro.
Eventually, you dropped the Speedos and you dropped the swim cap and you picked up the oval ball. What age did that sort of come to, and when did you sort of figure out that you're going to make somewhat of a professional career out of it?
To be honest, bro, it was when me and Danyan, Jordan's little brother, have been best mates since pretty much the womb almost. So I wasn't even playing rugby, but obviously Jordan and Caleb and Danyan were all playing. So whenever I'd go around, we'd just play rugby the whole time. And I wasn't even signed up to play. So when I did end up signing up, like, the next year, I'd already had like a year skill camp from like
the time skill camp. Jordan and
but it wasn't until, can't say I've ever felt really like, I want to, like, I feel like I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of more just, I've always just loved it and been super passionate about it. So I guess, like, when that's sort of your only, sort of the main thing driving you, I guess, you know, you keep working hard towards it, sort of evolves and yeah, you slowly get, I guess, a bit of a sniff as to like, what's coming. We can probably make that theme, or, and then you just keep pushing, and yeah, kind of just flows like that, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's you've done well with it. It's flowed pretty well.
Yeah, there isn't any other graduates from the Tana Skill Academy.
So you're also a very handy touch player. What position were you usually, and how did you find the game of touch sort of help you in rugby?
Yeah, bro, I think, well, we played a lot of mixed at school because we didn't have heaps of boys who were that gun. So no. I was actually in the mid, where I probably would have been out on the link in like the boys' teams.
Yeah.
But me and Clay Murray used to hold down the middle, yeah, and chuck some long balls. But I think you always see those interviews with guys like Sean Johnson, like Caelan Ponga, even yeah, like Scotty Prince, and that, like, they all, yeah, like real handy touch players, and even like Richie Monga, I think he was a touch black and stuff. So
yeah,
they always say like, it works on your game like so much. I think, I mean, you boys play touch. I think
reading
you get the same reads and reading defenses and creating those one-on-ones. We're probably like, I reckon you see over here, probably backs, some of the backs probably lack that like one-on-one ability.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas I think growing up, like everyone's playing touch. It's like,
you want to get someone out one-on-one.
Back, you know, like, so it just kind of evolves into like your game. So it's definitely like boys who have a bit of that, it's definitely like a point of difference kind of up in here, especially if the weather is like a bit, makes the pitch a bit slower. So
yeah,
yeah, I think it's definitely helped just overall like vision, subtle skills, and just like reading the game for sure.
For sure. You end up playing for Hamilton Old Boys, where you guys actually won back-to-back titles. And you start to gain a little bit of attention within the province with like Chiefs Development and Waikato. What are some of your fondest memories of playing with the Hamilton Old Boys?
Some good ones on and off the field as well. it was unreal, bro. Like when I first went down there, I was 18, and the 10 who was there at the time was like 36, so literally double my age.
Yeah,
and just started starting when I was 18, like I said, made the final, and yeah, but I was just pretty surreal, like straight out of school, because you know, Orio probably wasn't the most competitive side in the North Harbour competition. So to go into a team with some pretty like elite players, and even our second year, we had quite a few boys. Like, I don't want to name drop, but just to
yeah, go for it, bro. Get some credibility. Like,
yeah. He's not just some random. No, we had Sevi Reese, Quinn Tupaya. We even had Zach Guilford when he was making a return. But guys, even like Sean Stevenson would come down. So many boys, like our Pack and our Pene Finau. Just played debut this year for the All Blacks as well. But bro, we were littered with choice and players who were like, and they were hungry as, you know, that was before they'd cracked it into the All Blacks or Super, really. So, yeah, I think we just got a good run, bro, and on and off the field, great guys. And, yeah, bro, back-to-back was pretty cool. And then, like you say, like I said before, kind of just flowed into one another. Like, I was lucky enough to go down and get into the Waikato Academy down there. And I was like, I've cracked it. It was like rugby training all the time, and in the club rugby was going well. So, nah, but it was awesome memories down there in the Tron. So
things move pretty, pretty quickly for you. I mean, you're obviously coming from that North Harbour comp in Orewa, and then you're sort of immersing yourself down there. Would have been pretty cool being that little sort of coast boy, and it's just like my dream sort of to this pro rugby player is like, it's right in front of me right now. Would have been pretty cool for you, I guess, looking back on it now as well.
Yeah, for sure, Brian. It's something I probably look back on quite a bit as well. But, yeah, it was awesome going down there and in the academy and stuff. Like, that was all you wanted, was just the train and being the setup. And I think Waikato, you know, they're probably one of the strongest provinces in the NZ. So their coaching setup and, for, I guess, like, strength and conditioning, skills, all of that. And the boys down there were real high standards. So you're always training against, you know, really class boys. So
yeah,
that was definitely, it's obviously harder to make the team, which, you know, I wasn't able to do. But, like, the learnings you got from there, and they, Roger Randall, that was the backs coach, attack coach, and he's obviously really, really great coach as well. So I learned a lot off him and his mindset and stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely helped a lot, I think.
So we'll move forward, and obviously your Scottish journey started. You were picked up by the Irish Bulls in 2019. You earned 37 caps for them and scored 223 points in that. What made you make the decision, obviously, to head over to Scotland and immerse yourself into that?
Yeah, bro. So I finished up uni at the end of 2019, and I hadn't made Waikato, the Mitre 10 side. I didn't get a contract. I was in training with them all the time, but just didn't quite crack it. And I was finished uni and I was thinking, right, well, I either stay here another year, try get a job or whatever, move home, or can try something new. Because my nana, she's was born in England, so I could get an ancestry visa and come over and, you know, work without any real hassles. And that opportunity came up. I was like, it was about 6 months then till maybe April, November till April.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to bite the bullet, go, give it a crack, see a bit of the world, and then can always come back and play and then roll into like Mitre 10 or something. But came over and then, yeah, COVID struck. So stopped that a bit short. But yeah, it was more to go see the world, bit of opportunity and try something new. And now it was awesome, bro. I didn't even know I'd score that many points, but
yeah. Don't sell yourself short, bro. That 200 plus, it's not easy.
Yeah,
not there. Hey, it obviously worked for you professionally, point scoring, but also in the success of the competition, because you actually won a title with the ASI Bulls, scoring 16 points and getting man of the match in that final. So take us through the feeling of winning that and that game.
Yeah, bro, that was, once again, a really good year. Had some really good boys, some great coaches coming down too. And yeah, right, we had a good off-field, real good off-field culture. Like, everyone got around each other. Because Ayr is the town. It's about an hour away from Glasgow. So there's a lot of boys who live in Ayr permanently. And that's what I did when I first went over. But since I'd moved to Glasgow, and a lot of boys had moved through to Glasgow as well, so it was often hard to mix the local boys with the boys who would travel away, because it was a decent drive. But yeah, we ended up just always mingling together, staying down after the game and having a couple brown fizzies and that. And but to be honest, it just locked in our culture, and to win that was unreal, bro. Like, it's, you always remember those ones you get to the final, yeah, and win, bro. And no, it was pretty cool to pick up man of the match as well. There's a few debates by some of the props and forwards that they should have got it, but luckily you got it.
Nah, man, it's always the show ponies, always the first fives out there getting the attention.
Yeah,
so just claim it, bro, claim it. Hey, on your point of the brown fizzies, have you picked up a taste of the local cuisine? Like, are you drinking Guinnesses now, or are you still into your beers, bro, and whatnot?
I've had a few Guinness. I've managed to go to Dublin and gone to the Guinness factory. So,
oh, okay. Oh,
good.
I want to try the nectar there, bro. It's hard to come back to the mainstream in Scotland that don't really have it on tap as much. straight from the barrel, the main barrel.
Yeah.
It's from the heart.
Yeah, the heart.
I've got another beer just called, what was that?
Oh, I was just saying, it's like the heart and soul of Guinness. So you're drinking it straight from the tap.
Yeah, it pumps out from the factory, bro. but I've got another one called Tenants, but I'm still just beers, and then you obviously find yourself into the rums a bit later.
Yeah. you ease into it with the beers, and then the rums start going, and then next morning you wake up, you're like, what the fuck happened? Hey,
exactly, bro.
Yeah. We've all been there. We're probably there this weekend.
Right now, yeah.
Now, there was a lot of questions and uncertainties with your rugby career, because just as soon as you went over to the Bulls, there was the pandemic and there was that whole world shutdown. And then it was kind of up in the air whether your career was going to progress. I've seen from other interviews. But then you did get that contract with the Glasgow Warriors. So how'd you hear about getting that contract, and what was your feeling when you got that offer?
Yeah, so I think I'd always kind of been in touch with Glasgow just before COVID. I'd gone into training for a week or two when Dave Rennie was still there. And then COVID happened, luckily got home. And then I was like, I hadn't seen enough of Europe and wanted to get back over and give it a bit more of a crack, because just felt the same as I felt when I left, you know, NZ. It was sort of what I'd already known. So when I came back over, Glasgow kind of got in touch, saying that they were starting up training again within the restrictions. So I wasn't on contract then, and I was just training pretty much full time for that whole year, which was awesome, like invaluable, being able to train full time, pretty much professional setup, just no contract. And then, like you say, we broke into Ayrshire Bulls season. That's how I heard about the contract. I played the final, obviously celebrated, got in the sheds, all of that. And then onto the bus, got a text from the head coach saying, hey, bro, hey, Tom, great game. I'll give you a call tomorrow. So obviously we were kind of mad Monday antics or whatever, but got a call the next day. And then he just said, yeah, mate, going to offer you a contract. So we'll get that sorted and, yeah, enjoy the celebrations and we'll get you in the back end of this week. So that was how I heard about my first contract. That was about in November of, I think it was maybe 21. And then it was signed through till the summer, which is June, July 2022, I think. Something like that, yeah. And then, yeah, bro. And then from there, managed to get re-signed on for the next year. And then that led us into last season, which I was able to play a few games and get involved a bit more, which has been awesome since then, bro.
So in the space of like 48 hours, it was title, bender, contract, just like that, pretty much.
Yeah,
what a dream run.
Yeah, right. It definitely boosted the morale for the boys.
Yeah.
The flyer.
Yeah, for sure.
You made your debut for in the United Rugby Championship in September last year as Glasgow Warrior number 343. Do you want to take us through that day for you and what that whole experience was like?
Yeah, bro. It was probably one of the most nervous I'd been for a game. I just felt like it was almost like the monkey on my back. Like, yeah. I felt like I was 23, so I guess in rugby years, to make your professional debut is probably a little bit older. And a lot of boys that I'd known and played with, you know, cracking it, playing mean. And even at Glasgow, all the boys I hang out with had been playing. I was like, far out. I just like, feel like I don't even belong here. But, you know, I'm like, oh, I just need to like play a game. And then I'm like, sweet. So we played Benetton over in Treviso, which is close to Venice in Italy.
Yeah.
First game of the season. And it was pretty cool. It's not like your usual bus trip away trip. We're like our own like charter plane over there. And it was one of the nicer ones. It's pretty much like a PJ.
Yeah.
Jump in there. Pretty much like lazy boy chair, fly over. I was like, oh, this is crack up though. Like, so flew out there and managed to play. And yeah, like I said, I was so nervous, bro. And then got on there thinking that it would kind of like the boys around me would get me through it a bit more. I was obviously playing 10. I didn't have the best of games. And then after that, it was kind of like, right, I need to like take full control of this. Like, they're not just going to, I was kind of thinking, oh, they'll just be sweet. Like, they'll know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way, bro. I'm going to boss these guys around and really like level up a bit.
Yeah.
And then after that game, I was like, no, I can definitely, felt like I could definitely play at this level and sort of just try to assert myself in the game more. Where that first game, I was probably a bit of a passenger, to be honest, and just obviously trying, but just had no idea what to expect.
Overwhelmed so, yeah, with emotions.
That was awesome, bro. Yeah, and that was cool. But it was cool to be away, and you know, our league's pretty cool with the travel and stuff like that. So, no, it was an awesome experience and cool. Unfortunately, couldn't get the win, but hey, it was cool. It was real cool.
How'd you deal with those pregame nerves? There's a few of us around here that struggle with the pregame nerves. I'm known to be a bit of a spitter before games. How do you sort of like cope with that? Light breakfast or?
Yeah, I think it's hard to, I think for me personally, I think I'm quite a chill person. Like I think I just kind of think there's no point worrying about it and then come the game and then start freaking. Obviously sometimes you can't control it, but the more that I've kind of gone through more games, it is just about your prep really. Like if I know I haven't ticked off all the boxes during the week and gone through everything that's going to prepare me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when you feel like, oh, I should have done a bit more of this, or, you know, you just got to do what feels right for you. And so I think when you're pretty diligent and like tick all the boxes during the week, like for me especially, it's like kicking, being real consistent with that and process. So come to the game, bro, you're able to just do your thing.
Yeah.
And I think just do what I'm a guy who I don't really have superstitions or like, I have kind of routine, but I just do what feels right. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to like, I forget something and I'm going to freak out because I feel like it's too
set in your ways.
It can happen too easily during your setup, you know?
So you've played with some pretty high-level Scottish internationals, the likes of Sione Tupelotu, Richie Gray, Jack Dempsey, Rory Darge and Duncan Weir. What have you learned from playing alongside some of these pretty experienced blokes?
Yeah, I think probably the most beneficial thing is throughout the season we have, you know, the Six Nations and the Autumn Internationals and stuff. So a lot of those boys, they go off into Scotland camp. And we still train and have a couple games, but they'll come and then they come back and they almost get a bit of an insight into that high level rugby and then bring it back to, I guess, club land. Sione Tupelotu, he's one of my good mates. He's really, really detailed and really good at analysing the game. Like he's got a great rugby IQ and he's learned a lot. Like probably the thing that I've taken into my game the most was he was saying when he was in Scotland camp, he goes to bed quite late, like he stays up and like whatever. So he came down into the team room at like 2 a.m., have some cereal and that. And Finn Russell, who's obviously one of the most talented skillful tens in the game, he was down in there, bro, watching all the French games back, like analysing the games, like midweek. And he's probably like misconcepted, like he just goes out and flings it around, but he's in there watching, analysing games. And like, so when he comes to the game, he knows like every in and out of it. So that's something like I probably took on board a lot, like that analysis side of the game and him as a centre, like reading defences and, I guess like backfield and stuff like that. If you can, it's like anything, but diving into that part of the game is like so untapped for a lot of people. So I'm trying to put in that work now and build that side of my game too. And you can see these top guys doing it, but that's sort of what they bring back is that those high standards, like always doing their due diligence on teams. And it just levels up the whole team when you can see their plays and you know what's coming, you know?
Yeah.
You do play with a lot of high level guys. Is there someone that's impressed you the most that you'd say is like the hardest worker in the team? Or is it you?
Nah, it's not. Oh, yeah, it's a tough one. There's, I think all the boys you mentioned,
those next level.
You know, those boys are pretty sharp, though. They work pretty hard. I think Sione, just because I was talking about him, comes to mind as well. But he's, I think a lot of people as well, they just think he's just a chuck it up back or midfielder. But like the different skills and stuff he has in this game, and like reading defenses and running lines and stuff, is actually like one of the best for a 10, having him in the midfield. Like you just know what to do when he's on the field, and he's just, yeah, he's really sharp and he works really hard on it. He's obviously naturally talented, but he's always working on it. So yeah, but there's a lot of boys like that in the team, but yeah, it drives the standard definitely on the team, which is good.
Oh, for sure. A lot of high quality players. But who would you say is the biggest clown in the team? Like, is there someone that's a bit more goofier than the others? Loves a joke, loves a laugh?
Yeah, there's a couple goofy fellas. We actually, probably from last year, Ryan Wilson, he was our captain. He's left this year. Well, he didn't get kept on, but he's doing like commentary and stuff like that. Yeah. And I sat next to him in the change rooms, and mate, just the stuff he comes out with. And if you watch any of the pregame stuff, he's just like into everyone. He's always doing stuff. It's just absolute prankster, bro. So he was, and he's still around the building, but he's hilarious, mate. He's one of the funniest guys I've met, to be honest.
You play in a competition that includes teams from very strong countries such as the likes of South Africa, Ireland, Wales, and Italy. Has there been the tougher, or who would be the toughest player or the toughest team that you've come across so far?
Yeah, bro. So, yeah, it's tough for us, like, travelling away games and stuff. It's a big shift. And winning, it seems like winning away from home in this league is quite tough to do.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you play, really. Obviously, all the Irish sides are pretty good. Leinster, you know, they've got so much depth. They just roll out. They've got about three, like an A, a B, and a C team. They can roll out and still put points on, you know. But probably the toughest one was we played the Sharks over in Durban. That was awesome experience at their stadium. They've got like spa and like a slide into like a pool in the dead ball line where they play, which is crazy. But that was the first game they had the Springboks back in their team.
Sheesh.
And Eben Epsibes was playing. And, bro, he just the biggest tank, just biggest engine as well.
Damn.
Every kick chase, he was leading the charge, getting balls back. He was a freak, bro. So he was probably, one of the better players, like, one of the best players probably you come across, just workhorse. And for a forward, like,
yeah,
in our game, like, that's what you need. Someone is just hustling.
And a monster, big dude too, as well. Yeah.
So that was, it wasn't like a little back row or something, like, hustling around. He's, like, huge.
Yeah. Crazy.
Cautious on the charge downs coming on a few of your kicks.
Yeah, bro.
Were you getting clean kicks limbs off, or was it pretty intimidating?
I had to run away from him at one point. I think there's a photo of me like passing, getting like smoked by him.
What does an average week look like for you and the Glasgow Warriors in terms of your training, your game prep, just, you know, preparing for your week?
Yeah, so we have like a Saturday game. Obviously, a bit of recovery on Sunday, and like today I kind of gave myself yesterday off, but watch the game back and try watch one or two games of who we've got this week. So we're playing Bayonne over in France in the Champions Cup again, so that's will be a tough game, so I'll probably watch a couple of their games today.
Yep.
Just to get, like I say, like, see how they operate, try come with some tendencies, and then going into the meetings and stuff from last week, sort of know what we need to tweak in that. So that's probably a good, I've found that doing this like early, I'm able to go into training like a bit more prepared and know already what I kind of need to work on. Yep. Monday, Tuesday, be quite big days for us. We train pretty hard on Mondays, but in early, bit of prehab stuff and all that, meetings, bit of gym, more meetings, and then we're out on the field, training session, and then some boys get a bit more gym after, but it's a decent field session. Get a decent blow on, which is good. Get all the rust out your system from the week before and get going. And then Tuesday is our biggest day, so, and we call it battle day. So big contact day, but pretty much the same setup, meetings, bit of gym, do some wrestling and that on the mats.
Okay.
A bit of like just ripping the ball and that. And then.
Oh, you're not tapping anyone out or anything.
No arm bars and that. But bit of training and then Wednesday off. So we're lucky we're kind of sponsored, partnered up with one of the gyms. So they've got a sauna and like a plunge pool and that there. So get there with some of the boys.
Yeah.
Sweat out some demons and get in the plunge, which is good. So that's a savior on a Wednesday, just ticks you up. And then we sort of taper off Thursday, just almost a light day, but same setup. And then Friday, captain's run, roll into the game. But you sort of got your own space where you can add bits in there. And I'll kick after each session and throughout there as well, and sort of have that set up as well, depending on who we're playing and what we're going to target. So it's a busy week, but I think it's good. Like I prefer that than chilling all week and playing. Like I'd rather train hard during the week and be like, right, I'm done it. I feel prepared and going like that way.
Is there any sort of key point and difference between what you're doing over there as to what you've done here, other than obviously the temperature?
Not too much, but I think, obviously we're really lucky with the facilities that we have. So, you know, we've got really good gym facilities. We've got a 4G pitch. So, you know, it's not like in winter you're running out into the bog and the mud and that, you know, there's no real excuses that you can't get out there and do your thing and work on what you need to. I think the important thing is, and like when you listen to other guys who are bit older in the sport and that, it's about like keeping that same drive that got you there, you know. So, you know, when I was at Old Boys, you know, I'd go down on a Wednesday and kick, and on a Friday I'd go down on, you know, before the game and kick and just get prepped like that. Whereas now I've still got that, but you know, it's easy for guys to go, training's done, go home, have a shower, you know. So it's about keeping that sort of same mentality and drive, because at the end of the day, that's kind of what got you there. So it's about keeping that, kind of managing your load, but keeping that mindset and always just kind of ticking it off. So that's what I try to keep implementing. And I definitely, as a 10, you can definitely notice, well, for me anyway, I find if you slack off a bit on some skills, they definitely come to bite you in the game. Like you just want to be able to do it without thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Sweet, man. So you did say you are a 10, but you are kind of like seen as a bit of a utility player within the Glasgow Warriors, being able to play in the midfield too. What is your preferred position, would you say? Is it fly half?
Yeah, it is a tough one, bro. I actually played, our centre went off, so I played at 12 for the last maybe 15 minutes on the weekend, and the week before I was on the bench, came on at fullback for the half a game because our winger came off, so I've sort of jammed all over the park, to be fair, and I do enjoy just playing rugby. Like it's, I do enjoy that. But 10, I like sort of controlling the game. I like to have that control of the game. And then at 12 as well, I like to get stuck in and involved. Enjoy chucking it up and getting a bit more into the front line. As 10, you're kind of in the backfield a bit more. So I do enjoy that side, but it's a tough one, bro. I feel like I always start at 12 and then I end up at 10. Like this preseason, we obviously had boys away, midfielders away, 10s away. So I was training at 12 the whole preseason. And then Franco, our head coach, came up to me before the first game. Was like, "Oh, sweet, you're starting at 10. And I was like, "I haven't even barely practiced that 10 until like that week of the game." So it's sort of, but I feel like at 12, you sort of, I guess, a bit more of a rugby player. You know, you can kind of get a few more touches into contact and stuff like that. So then when you go to 10, it sort of, it does transfer over. But yeah, I couldn't give you an answer, bro. I'm sort of stuck there myself.
Keep your options open. Don't pat yourself into a box. Yeah.
What would be your favourite rugby moment so far in your career?
Yeah, by far, there's been some good ones. I think if I had to break it down to like one moment, obviously my debut was cool. It was like the monkey off my back, like I said, but probably it was the biggest game I'd played in was, we've got the 1872 Cup, which is the oldest domestic rugby rivalry in the world between Glasgow and Edinburgh. So we play that every year. It's actually next week. We've got it's a two-leg, like, aggregate score. We play the second leg at Murrayfield. So that's Scotland's, like, international stadium. And I think we got about 27,000 there, which was the biggest crowd I played in. And, yeah, managed to score a try and get it going to the sticks. And, yeah, that was pretty awesome, bro. Like, big international stadium, like, decent crowd. Yeah. I think that was like a try, and then we started to come back and we ended up winning that game and like win the cup. So that was pretty cool. And playing with like all the boys who I trained with for ages and slowly started build up, and then played a decent game, scored a try there. And that was pretty cool, bro. It was awesome. Win the cup there. And that was a pretty cool moment. Eh?
Yeah. I've just got a couple of quick ones before Jordan sees you out. So, what would be your favourite meal a night before a game?
Guinness.
Oh, at the moment,
I'm in the tummy.
Knackers, no. At the moment, I've just been having this like chicken bacon pasta, like creamy pasta.
Yeah,
that's been serving me right. So I've just been sticking with that at the moment. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good recipe.
Go to pre-game song.
Oh,
bit of Katy Perry?
Nah. Oh, what was I listening to? Probably some 50 Cent.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that man.
Went to his concert actually the other day, and it was gone.
Okay.
What's the song? Mine's Many Men.
Yeah, Many Men's up there, bro.
Yeah. Or If I Can't as well. Yeah, that's a good one. That gets you right in the zone. Yeah. Put your hair, boy.
Yeah. All right, so you get to play one game with a backline of your choice. Who would you put in it?
Ooh.
You can either obviously be 10 or 12.
Oh, so if I'm at 10.
Yeah.
I'm at 10. I'm going to start on my Nonu on my shoulder, bro.
Yeah.
All day.
So pick.
Jeez. My brain's just fighting through.
So many to pick.
It's pretty much an NZ backline, I think. I'd love to have Sonny Bill at 12 actually come sniff on those offloads, but me at 10, I reckon you'd have to go Aaron Smith just to be able to see what his pass is like.
Yeah.
Ma'anonu 12. Oh, I'm going to leave 13 open for now.
Yeah.
Probably Corey Jane on one wing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're going to put up
Israel
some...
Dagg, fullback.
You're going to put up some crossfields for Corey. You'll be good under
that
those.
Fin,
yeah.
That Finn, bro. Probably Israel Dagg at fullback.
Yeah.
I'd probably actually chuck maybe Israel Folau on one of the wings.
Yeah, he was dope.
He was a freak. It's got 13 left. Maybe Rico.
Yeah.
Go with Rico.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Could be decent.
All right, last one. So if you you wake up tomorrow and you could be a pro athlete in any other sport, what would it be?
A good one.
Don't say swimming.
Does your body take the same toll and everything?
Oh, yeah, good. Good follow-up question. Yeah. Let's say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you feel the effects of the game.
Yeah, you do.
So. Yeah, right.
It probably writes out like MMA or something like that.
Yeah. I'd love to get in, but
yeah, the next days, the next couple of days would be pretty rough.
You can't really go past golf, but yeah, I'll probably say golf.
Yeah.
I think that lifestyle in between, I think most people pick it and you could just play it forever. I think if you're that top level, like, right, you're retired, you're 70 on the golf course, just pinging it still, like, be taking people's pensions for fun, bro, every week.
Have you been playing a bit of golf, have you?
Nah, bro, it's pretty bleak here in winter. I have a little dabble in summer, but yeah, I need to get into some. They've got some good courses here. They've got the Trump Turnberry course, St. Andrews.
Yeah, I was
obviously a bit hard to get onto, but I need to pick it up a bit more. I've got some clubs, so.
Well, that's a start.
Just need to commit a bit more, bro.
You should try to qualify to the major tournament they have at that St. Anne's. That's the major, they have there.
Yeah. That's awesome, bro.
Just try cool fluke spot. Your way into the first lot of the first group. I don't know what you call it, but
just after training, just in the chamber, bro.
After a game, all bruised up, still just having a blinder. Final question from us, Tommy. You qualify for Scottish residency in November 2024. What are your professional rugby goals and what does the future look like for Tommy Jordan?
Yeah, bro, I think as I got closer to like the residency and stuff, like it's less than a year now, you know, it's probably within 10 and a half months away now. It's before I was like, oh, whatever, just see what happens. But I think as I've gone on more and been more consistent with Glasgow and stuff, I think it's definitely something that I can aim for. But you know, before I was like, well, if I'm not here, then it's not a thing. So I think, bro, international rugby would be pretty cool. I think that's, you know, that's the top level, and I think how Scotland are going as well, like they're moving up as one of the top teams in international rugby as well. So that would be a pretty cool goal. Play international rugby, I think that would be, you know, to strive towards that would be pretty awesome. And I think if you've got that goal, I think a lot of other things would kind of take care of themselves as well if you're striving for that. So that's probably a good driving factor for now. I'm under contract until, well, another season as well, so I'll become eligible within that contract. So it's up to me what I do in that time. So I think that's the goal, bro. Try push for some international footy, which, you know, is no easy feat as well, but it's going to be a lot of hard work, a lot more of growing from where I am now. So I'm pretty locked in on sort of getting a process on how to get there. So, but I think that's the goal, bro. That'd be pretty cool to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You're right on the doorstep, bro. I've been watching the highlights. I've been watching you play games. You've been killing it over there, man. So you might have to pick up the accent though, so you can fully integrate yourself as a Scottish international player. But man, you're right on the doorstep, bro. So keep doing what you're doing. Hey, Tommy, thank you for your time today, bro. I really appreciate that. It's not always the easiest shift on a weekend to get up early morning on a Sunday and join us, but appreciate your time, bro. And all the best of luck for, you know, the coming season with Glasgow and with your international rugby goal endeavours. For Lads Talking Footy, that's been us. We've got content dropping, so give us a follow on the page. Follow us on YouTube as well. And yeah, we'll catch you boys next time.
Shout out to me.
Yo.
Do you need him to stay on for a bit?
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, he's got it?
It should be.
Jeez, boys, that was... That was mean.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tommy, bro. Mean. Mean answers.
Yo.
What are you up to now for the rest of the day?
Bit of admin, bro.
Yeah.
You know what it's like. Sort my shit out. Get to the shops. Get the washing on.
Oh, yeah.
Flat a tip, so. But, nah, just cruising, bro. But, what about you boys? Straight to bed.
I'm actually tossing up with it to just like call in a sickie.
Yeah.
Nah, that's useless. I'll go. I won't be happy about it.
What was the script last night?
Last night was kind of like just recovery, but I ended up waking up like real early this morning. So like haven't been catching up on Z's. So I've just been feeling like shit. And the Friday was just a shocker, bro. Like we were playing poker. And then, like, all the boys came around and we just started drinking. And then, like, the poker game ended. Then we started playing cash,